How's everybody doing? Well, hopefully you're in the right place. This is the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett.
Okay.
And this is our Sunday morning class. And we're going to talk about Judgment Day this morning. And you're thinking, if you're visiting, oh, great. Great. I choose on Memorial Day weekend to come to a place they're going to talk about Judgment Day. Fantastic. Or you may be feeling that way if you're now visiting. I'm not sure. I really hope I remember my lesson since it's dark. That was not for dramatic effect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be here, to look at your word, what you have to say to us. Father, I pray that you would bless us as we look at your word, to be able to remember, to take things to heart. Father, to carry your word forth to others. Father, to put it to work in our own lives. Father, thank you that we have your word that we can rely on and go to in any time. We pray that you bless people that are on their way and keep them safe, and those that are traveling this weekend. We thank you for our brothers and sisters. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so yes, you figured it out already. We're talking about Judgment Day. But in context of the class and series that we're having, is we're talking about songs that we sing. And we sing, believe it or not, lots of songs about the Judgment Day. You may not realize it, but we do. But what I want to do is provide some context to why we ought to be singing songs about the Judgment Day. Because when you say Judgment Day, what's coming to your mind? It's serious business, isn't it? You're thinking, oh my word. Well, the purpose of our class is for us to be thinking about what we're singing. So we sing lots of songs. Many of them are based upon the scriptures and references to the scriptures or about a particular subject. And Judgment Day is certainly one of them. And that is difficulty is that sometimes we do things by rote, we do things by memory, and we're not really thinking. I'm going to give you an example of a song that perhaps you've heard about before. Take a look at these words and see if you have a flashback. Living easy, living free, season ticket on a one-way ride, asking nothing, leave me be, taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme. Ain't nothing I would rather do. Going down, party time. My friends are going to be there too. I'm on the highway to hell. No stop signs, speed limit. Nobody's going to slow me down. Like a wheel, going to spin it. Nobody's going to mess me around. Hey, Satan, paid my dues, playing in a rock and roll rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. Don't stop me. And I'm going down, all the way down. I'm on the highway to hell. You know, I like that song, AC/DC. That's like rocking. Love the beat. And then I read the words and I go, oh man, I don't think I want to sing this song. You know, when we sing songs about the Judgment Day, there's words to them. What are we saying? We sing words to songs on the radio. What in the world are we saying? I'm telling you, this happens all the time with our kids. Think about rap. Think about rock and roll. I can remember a time when our kids were playing a song and they liked the music. I liked the AC/DC music beat. You know, I do like it. And they were going, what's the problem, Mom? They said, have you ever listened to the words? And she read the words to them. They were humiliated when they actually understood the words to the song that they were humming and singing along with. Kind of frightening, isn't it? I got this stapled together here. Well, let's take a look at some other words. Let's take a look at the Word of God. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, it says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." Turn to Revelations 20, or you can take a look right here. In Revelations 20, in verses 11 through 15, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Turn to 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." As we read these scriptures, how are you feeling? What does it make you think? It's a little scary, isn't it? It's very sobering. When you start reading about heaven and hell, hard choices, they're black and white. I don't see a reference to some middle place. And it's final. It's all so final, isn't it? One of the things I want you to think about is that you cannot have justice without judgment. Think about God. He is just. There must be a judgment. Let's think about this. God cannot make things right without declaring certain things wrong. We really struggle with that concept in the world, don't we? No one wants to say anything's wrong. But then there's no justice. Today in this world, we realize that life isn't fair, don't we? Yet we think it should be fair. I would like this life to be fair. But in fact, the scriptures point to the fact it isn't fair while we're living here. It just isn't. But it points to a day called Judgment Day, when all wrongs will be righted and justice will be served. God's going to straighten things out once and for all. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever suffered at the hands of someone? Have you suffered? Have you hurt? Have you been abused, persecuted? Been in a fight? Been mistreated? Isn't it comforting to know that one day that's going to be made right? We want fairness, don't we? But we have a dilemma. If God's going to execute His justice, we're rebels. You see, even though we have been mistreated and we've been wronged and we've been hurt and we've been abused, we perpetuate the problem ourselves. We are a part of the problem, aren't we? We rebel against God. We rebel against His word and against His authority. We perpetuate evil in our own actions. We want justice. We want things that have been done to us to be fixed and be made right, but we do the very same things. What a sorry state. That's why, guys, that there's a great temptation to play down judgment in what we talk about or think about. We want to minimize it. Because when you think about justice, if you're guilty, that's not a happy thought, is it? If you know that God is just and you are evil, that's not good news, is it? It's scary. Look at Romans 3, verses 10 through 19. Paul says what our condition is. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Scripture says this is our condition. We're tempted to think that people are good. The Bible says, no, to God's standard, there's no one good. There's no one. You think someone's trying? They're trying to be righteous? There's no one good enough. We're all lawbreakers. We've all sinned. We've all screwed up. We've all lied. We haven't feared God. So let me ask you guys a question. I want you to think about some of these things that I just throw out here. Are you embarrassed to talk about judgment? The judgment day? To share that with someone, that there is a day of reckoning? That we are evil, that God is just. I fear that there's not much room for judgment in today's society. People don't want to talk about it. Judgment is something that almost doesn't exist. Everybody's going to go to heaven. If you look around in our culture, only the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst are going to go to hell. And that's always someone else. Are you tempted to make Christianity more palatable by minimizing judgment? We really get that way when we're thinking about who is saved and who isn't saved. We like to get fuzzy about that because it starts to become real when it's grandma, when it's our brother or our sister or our wife or our children, don't we? We would really like to soften the edges of judgment. We're so tempted with that. I know I am. I've lost loved ones who were not saved, but they said they were. They thought they were, but according to God's word, they were not. And it hurts. But that's not the subject. I actually want to encourage you that we must not downplay judgment just to help us cope with these issues. We must not downplay judgment because it's difficult to face our own evil. I want to share with you that judgment can actually be good news. In fact, in Romans 2, in verse 16, Paul said, and I'm picking it up in verse 16 in the middle of the thought, "This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares." What is the gospel? Say it louder. Good news. Wait a minute. Judgment is a part of the gospel. Judgment is a part of the good news. When we tell the story of good news, judgment is integral. It's center in that gospel. There is a judgment. It is good news. Turn to Psalm 96. In Psalm 96, listen to what these words say. "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound in all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for He comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His truth." See, the writer of the Psalms had no problem with judgment being good news. It is a central part of good news. We can't lose the reality of judgment from our thoughts. Don't rob your Christianity from the hope of satisfying your longing for justice. That's okay. Judgment is how the gospel deals with evil and how humans treat each other. I want you to think about that. If we lose our focus on judgment, we lose the great gravity of our sin. We lose sight of our own sinfulness and the great cost of our sin. We ruin the gratitude that comes from receiving grace. I hope I'm communicating here. Judgment and understanding that there is a day of reckoning and where we stand in God's grace, is such good news. We often fail to understand that God's essential attribute is love. But it's not a sentimental love like the world puts before you. There's nothing sentimental about it at all. The sentimental love is, everybody's all right. I know you're trying. You're well-meaning. The grandfather love. The one that won't discipline you. God's love is a holy love. It is a jealous love. The wrath of God is based on His holiness and love. A God who lets evil go unpunished, I don't think is worthy of worship. That may be a shocking statement, but God is judge. He doesn't wink at our evil behavior. He sees the world as it truly is. He sees the atrocities. He sees the drugs, the greed, the violence, and the hatred. He is righteously and gloriously angry at what we have done. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verses 5 to 10, let's read something that's going to happen. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. God is just. If you are in Christ and you've been afflicted, God is going to deliver His justice. He will repay for the evil that has been done. But that's scary, isn't it? This is scary stuff. What kind of love would ignore evil? God is angered by our sins. He hates our sins because of what it does to us and what it has done to His good creation. If only we could see with God's eyes, we would see why the creation is groaning for redemption. Through God's eyes, we would see all the destruction and heartache. Remember, God created the world and He called it good. It was inherently good, but look what we have done to it. As it says in Thessalonians, it calls for a purging and refining fire. The Scripture says our God is a consuming fire. But there's hope for the rebels. It's about time I got there, right? Somehow my notes are missing for this particular page, but I'm going to remember what I was writing. There's hope for the rebels. You see, there is the cross. The cross is where justice and mercy meet. The cross is what God did to be just, to take care of the evil, and yet give us a way out. On the cross, when we come to God, He took Jesus, who was innocent, and made Him take on the evil that we have done and nail that to the cross. The price was amazing. The price was intense. It was the death of an innocent person. Someone who was guilty deserves death, right? He was not guilty. So He took our sins in our place, and we were justified by that grace of God. Justice has been paid. Justice was given. And God is just in that He raised Christ from the dead because He was innocent. It would be unjust for Him to die an innocent and not live again. Does that make sense? God is just. Our sins have been paid for. We were redeemed, bought at a price. If you have been saved, according to the Scriptures, this is what's happened. Think about that. Our evil, our sins, incurred that price. The sacrifice of an innocent one on a cross. But God loved us so much that He did that so that we would have a way back to Him, to have a relationship with Him. And so we see on the cross where this demand for justice has been fulfilled. Evil paid for. And where grace is given. The frightening thing about Judgment Day is for someone who has not been covered for that blood and their evil has not been redeemed. They've not been purchased. They've not responded. They're still rebels. So it makes us very grateful for those of us who have been washed, who've accepted Jesus as Lord, who have accepted that grace. It makes us very grateful. It makes us look at Judgment Day with a view that's different from someone who is still in their sins, still holding on to evil, on the highway to hell, saying, "I'm going down," but not really wanting to say that. And it makes us respond to them in a different way. It makes us afraid for them. It makes us have the same urgency for them as for our own souls. And so when we think about judgment, we need to be concerned for our own souls, but for those who have not accepted Christ. We don't want to leave such a great salvation, do we? We don't want to neglect or be ungrateful for what's been done to take away our evil. And so when we sing songs about the judgment, there's not many of them that sing about everybody going to hell. The songs that we sing about judgment are our great expectation that everything will be made right. Because we do suffer in this world. There is evil in this world. Let's look at a song. Lo, what a glorious sight. I don't know if you remember this song. Lo, what a glorious sight appears to our believing eyes. The earth and seas are passed away, and thee, old rolling skies. From the third heaven, where God resides, that holy, happy place, the new Jerusalem comes down, adorned with shining grace. Attending angels shout for joy, and the bright armies sing, Mortals, behold the sacred seat of your descending king. The glory, the God of glory, down to men removes his blessed abode. Men, the dear objects of his grace, and he, the loving God. Fly swift around, ye wheels of time, and bring the welcome day. This is our psalm for today that we will be singing in the service. And when we sing this song, I want you to think of the grace that we will be receiving instead of justice. When you're guilty, you do not want justice. When you're guilty, you want mercy. You want grace. And we have received that. So when we sing songs about judgment, we can rejoice. We can have confidence that when that day comes, we're actually seeing it as the day that we are with our King. And he is making everything right. He is fixing what has been wronged. Evil will be dealt with. And we get to be with our God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of what you've done for us. You have paid the price of our evil with your Son, Jesus. And you've made a way for us to be made clean, to avoid the day of judgment, to suffer your rightful punishment of death. You have made it possible where we will not suffer that. Father, how can we express our gratitude? Today we will worship you. We will hold you up. We will acknowledge that you are Lord and God. And I pray that we will make that so in our lives every day. Father, help us when we are tempted by evil, when the evil one confuses us, and today's culture says that everyone's okay. Help our minds to be clear of what is right and wrong, because we know that you are a just God. You will not tolerate evil. Help us to purge evil from our lives and help us to take your message, the good news, to the lost. Father, we pray this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Thank you for your attention to Judgment Day. We have a little extra time. We're going to use this to go ahead and get our kids and come back into the auditorium and be prepared for worship. Amen.